Welcome to Ever Beyond, on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Welcome once again. This is March the 10th, 2013. This is Ever Beyond, and I am JP speaking from Scotland, here in the heart of Murray, the heart of whiskey country. A little solar panel is what Murray is. Loads of fields of barley that are chopped down, ground up, and fermented into malt, which becomes whiskey, which becomes fuel for plenty of bar brawls all over the world. Anyway, here I am. And tonight my guest is a returning guest, but returning from a long time ago. A long time ago, before the incarnation, as it were, of Wolf Spirit Radio, when we were known as Project Information Generation, or PIG Radio. You heard earlier on, we heard one of Dave's earliest interviews with Joseph Mara, and then my interview with Alindwith Aldebaran, right? So tonight she returns. She has a different name now. It's much easier to pronounce. It's Isis Neith, and she's joined by Shiva Ray and Wolf, and this is I'm joined really by the one of the Ascension groups. Actually, you're gonna have to fill in your names, your group name and everything about that. So first of all, I'd like to ask Shiva Ray to give us an invocation to kind of ring fence the show, give it protection and wisdom, and bring in the right kind of people and all that kind of thing. So Shiva Ray, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Goddess Shiva Ray, and thank you everyone for joining us here. I call upon the reality of each one of us, each one of our souls, to come forward, to hear the information that is spoken here, to rise up from within each one of us so that we live within our truth, the truth of the reality of our soul. The ascension information that we bring forth here, your soul shall resonate with. It has been calling forth this information since the beginning of time. I thank the council for being here with us. I thank the Egyptian pantheon for being here. I also thank the Hindu pantheon for being here with us. This is our team in ascension. It can be and is your team as well. We are here to forge forward, to be the ascension team, to help set human beings, humankind, free. Free from the limitations that have been placed upon them that they don't even know that are there. Hear this call to your soul. Come forward. Reality from within. Your reality, your truth. It is your truth. We are fully protected and guarded as we have many powerful, wise beings surrounding us here. I thank each of you for stepping outside of the box of this earth that we have seen that is not the truth. Again, thank you so very much. Thank you.
Wonderful. So, here we are. Now, As I said, I just replayed a show of ours, and I would like to now bring forward Isis Neith.
Hello, JP.
Hello, how are you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Now, I've got a little bit of an audio problem, so what I'd like to do is just play a little jingle and then bring you back in, because there's a little bit of kind of interference on this line. So if I can just call you back in 1 second, I'm just going to play this piece of music. Welcome back. I just tried to adjust the volumes and see if we can get the perfect sound. So, good afternoon once again, and welcome back. This show is now called Ever Beyond. This station is now called Wolf Spirit Radio. So, it's very interesting. You have a third member there with you. We'll talk about him later. But it's been it's 2.5 years. How have things moved for you, and how are you doing?
Well, a lot of changes happened since the last time I was on the show. I moved out of the surroundings that I was in. I'm now out here in Oceanside, California. Before, I was in Florida. And I lived with my mom that spoke to you before. Now I am here with Wolf and with Goddess Shiva Ray, and we are bringing in new ascension protocols. So the teachings of the council has very much changed. And as I was speaking to you about before, JP, I was not in the right energetic space before to bring in the how, as to how the human body would ascend. I knew that it would ascend, and the council has been speaking to me about physical ascension being a body that doesn't age, it doesn't sleep, it doesn't die. It also doesn't have to take in an energy of itself. So it doesn't need liquid, it doesn't need food. And now that I'm in the appropriate space where I needed to be, because what happened was my mother and I, we had developed so many cords between us. My mother, she's wonderful. I mean, she was on your show last time, so you met her. She's a wonderful person. I love her dearly. But during the process, because there was no one before around us, we were doing this all ourselves, and she was the one person that would listen to me and do these sessions with me, these channeling sessions with me. For those who listened before, they know that I would do the channelings and that she would sit there and she would write them down. And we did this for 5 years. And there were 2 years before that where the council was coming to me, and I was telling my mother about them, and I was pulling more and more away from other people. And so the only person I really had was my mom. And so I'm very, very grateful to her. But what we realized was we had developed so many cords between us that the council said, okay, now you need to be in a different energetic space, because of these cords, you're not going to be able to receive the new information that we want to bring to you. And so it was a huge journey bringing me out here, and it took a few years for this to all happen, where I ended up out here. And I had already spoken to Goddess Shiva Ray, and I used to speak to her very often with my mother when I was known as Alindua, and she resonated with the council and with the material on my previous blog. And then when I came out here, I met her, and now I'm living with her. We're sharing her house together, and now Wolf is here as well. And there were also a lot of changes. So not only to my surroundings and the energy of the people that I was around, but also physical changes happened in the house before we could even begin what the council began channeling me. Before I even began receiving it, they had us removing things in the house. For instance, there was like an old rug in the kitchen, and it belonged to her grandparents. And so the kitchen was filled with this very old, stale energy that had to be removed. So there were a lot of physical items that had to be removed. And then there were new physical items that were being brought in so that this place was of an even higher vibration than it artists. Goddess Shiva Ray has a beautiful altar here, which had already been established. So this place has an extremely high energy, and now even much more so. And so then the council not only began still talking to me about the what, but then they began talking to me about exactly how. How is your body going to do this? How is your body going to transition from just eating anything, whatever? And during that time period, I had gotten off of eating mostly fruit, because when I spoke to you, I was eating cheese and fruit primarily because I didn't want to harm animals. Now, I was not eating any meat during that transition, but I was back to eating other foods in my diet as well, and I had gotten more used to them again. And so we had to start this whole transition. And then someone who isn't even on as pure a diet as I was then, someone who's on, for instance, in just a regular standard American diet, they're eating beef and meat and all these different things. They're drinking a lot of alcohol, maybe, you know. How do they transition to not needing anything, being just breatharian? And so then the council began giving me these exact protocols, these very specific things that we were going to do, and it was extremely specific, like down to the T, the things that they were giving us to do. And we had to set up the house very differently, especially the kitchen, because the kitchen, everything in the kitchen, that's something that you're going to put into your, you know, if it's a drink or if it's a food, that's something that's going to be put into your body. And so if there is negative energy into the kitchen, you're going to be taking that into your physical body. So the kitchen had to be organized in an extremely specific way. So anyway, that's kind of the summary.
That's really interesting, though, Isis, because you know, esoterically, the kitchen represents the heart center.
Wow.
And so therefore, and you're absolutely right. Everything that passes into our bodies goes through the kitchen. And
yes.
The whole, there is a word that the esoterics use, imperil, which is the that horrible stuck, well, it's basically any kind of stale emotion. So that could be like a resentment or a guilt or a malicious thoughts or things like that, can be absorbed by your food because it's a living thing, and it's loving, and love absorbs. And so it's very easy to imperil your drink or your water or your food or and all of that stuff. And in fact, you know, a lot of people, they may have the best of intentions, but by saying, oh, that's bad food, you're actually poisoning it for the person who's eating it. So, you know, you should never criticize somebody's eating habits, because their beingness may often bless that food before it goes into their body. And it doesn't matter what kind of food it is, it will bless it and it will bless all of the beings that were part of that food that they're eating, all the way back down the line. So we have to be very careful when we judge, particularly when it comes to food, because it can so quickly turn goodness into poison. So it's a really, really important point that you made there. I know you were kind of, it's like, oh, look what they made us do. It's a bit weird, but it's not weird at all. It really makes sense to me.
Yeah, and that's interesting what you're saying about speaking over the food, because that was actually one of the protocols that they started having us do. They had us speak very specific things over the food. There were rituals that we had to say over the food, and then we would have to sit it in a very holy area where it would absorb energies from its surroundings. So we laid a lot of items around it that would charge the food, so that they were putting their energy into it, which was a very, very high vibration. I mean, if you were to see our kitchen now, it is filled with high vibrational items, statues all over, pictures of deities and saints. It has just crystals everywhere. It has crystals all through the fridge, all through the freezer. And they had us, as I said, set this up in a very specific way. We had to speak to all of the crystals, and then we have affirmations hanging up in the kitchen of things that we're saying to ourselves all throughout the day, especially as it concerns the food. And there were things that we would have to say over the food as we were making it and everything. But now, we're really not preparing, much food anymore. Goddess Shiva Ray, I think, she may still be on a very, very small amount of food. But Wolf and I are almost completely liquidarian, and the only reason I say almost is because sometimes we will put like a piece of fruit, like a banana or something, into the blender, and we blend it with other liquids if we feel to have something heavier, because it's very important that we're not fasting. We're not doing this because we want to do a cleanse, or for any other reason other than the fact that doing these protocols, doing the things that the council has told us to do, Wolf and I are just no longer able to eat food. And Goddess Shiva Ray, I mean, she cannot eat very much food at all anymore. But it got to the point I can't eat food. I tried, and this was pretty recent, actually, because we haven't been on the protocols for very long. It took us months to get it set up and everything, and for them to tell me exactly what we needed to do. And then they told us, okay, you're starting on this date. It was January 24th. And so it's been a very short amount of time. And then we were on raw vegan food, but it was maybe 2 weeks ago when I got to the point. I had been getting lighter and lighter and lighter. But I went back to the state where I had been on your show, where I couldn't eat any kind of vegetable. And it was even more extreme to me than it had been. I mean, I would put it in my mouth and it would feel like it was moving. I felt so much energy from it. I couldn't eat it at all. I just felt like I was going to be sick. And then, so I was only eating fruit. I wasn't eating any cheese either. Whereas, as before, I needed the cheese. I needed it to feel like I had energy when I was eating mostly fruit. But then I got to the point I was eating only fruit, and I had a lot of energy. And now I'm only on liquids. As I said, once in a while I'll put, maybe like once a day, I'll put a piece of food into the blender and I'll blend it with liquids. But solid food, I'm not able to eat it anymore. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's a piece of fruit or what it is. I started feeling an energy on the food. So the Council for the Assistance to Earth, they speak about luxury all the time. And as you rid yourself of these beliefs that we have, and the Council refers to them as thought forms, as you rid yourself of these thought forms, which are taking up energetic space in your body, and there are these beliefs that you have about, oh, you have to eat, you have to sleep, all of these things. Well, as you rid yourself of these beliefs, your reality comes up more and more, and your reality takes up that space. And you seal yourself so that the thought form can't come back into your space, and then you call up your reality. Your reality comes up more and more, and it fills that space. And so what began happening is I started feeling this energy, and I knew it was coming from my reality. My reality, when it's speaking to me, or rather when I'm speaking to myself, really, when my real self is talking, I feel it from a specific area in my body. And I started feeling this energy, and it was coming off of me everywhere. But it would come out of my hands anytime I would go to grab like a banana or something. And I literally couldn't even touch it. Like, I was so repelled from the banana. It was like an energy coming off of my own hand. And again, I recognized what it was. I knew it was my reality. And I was thankful my reality had come into my hand. So before, there were thought forms in my hands. Now my reality was in my hands. And that's not the primary spot where I feel it in my body. I feel my reality mostly in my stomach. But my abdomen. I don't mean stomach specifically, but my abdomen. And I felt this energy coming off of my hands, literally repelling me from this food, to the point where it was like I was disgusted by it. I wasn't able to eat it. Now, if I had the intent, though, I'm going to take a piece of this food and I'm going to put it in the blender and I'm going to make it into a liquid form, and then I'm going to digest it, then immediately I would be able to pick up that same item and I would be able to put it in the blender. But when I had the intention of eating it in a solid form, I was not able to take it into me. And again, as I was saying before, I'm repeating this because there are a lot of people who go on like a juice cleanse or something like that. Even some people that go on like a liquidarian fast for like a couple of months, and they have a lot of energy and everything, and then they go back to eating regular food. So again, it's very important to understand we're not fasting. We're not trying to do this. We're doing this because we're not able to eat food, because as you rid yourself of the thought forms, then you literally can't. And so it becomes a permanent transition. It's no longer an I want to. Those people, they are doing something very good for their bodies. They're cleansing themselves, but they're not removing the thought forms. And so they're going to go right back to eating when they're done. Whereas I won't be able to do that. I'm going to keep getting lighter and lighter and lighter. I mean, a few days ago, I was putting 3 bananas into the blender with liquid, and I was even putting, like, some almond butter into the blender, and I was blending it up. And just in a matter of a couple of days, that's gotten to where I can't do that. I can put 1 banana into the blender, forget any kind of nut butters. I can't take it in a liquid form. I'm unable to do that. And it's gotten to the point where I can really only put any kind of food into the blender about once a day, like I said. So it's all happening naturally as we release the thought forms and our reality comes forward.
Right. Brilliant. I tell you, that the way you express things sometimes really is very, very clear as a kind of what a way to introduce the idea. Okay, so here's, let me explain myself. You use a term, my reality. You also
yes.
talk about thought forms. These are terms that have been referred to in the esoteric literature, and the esoteric literature fills dozens and dozens of incredibly dense books. It's not easy to read, basically. But you've just put it there very, very succinctly. Your body is filled with thought forms, and when you get rid of the thought forms, or when you can release the thought forms from within your body, that allows your, quote, reality to move in. Now, your reality, in mine and a lot of language, would be your soul or your higher self. Are we still talking about the same stuff here?
Yes, we are. Yes, we're talking about the same thing.
And that your reality is pushing its way into your physical body.
Yes.
And it's a highly energetic being.
Yes.
And is this the reason for the change of name?
Yes, it is the reason for the change of name. As I connected to my reality, I realized my origins, and I have become closer and closer to Isis, that I recognize as like my mother now. I believe that she is the being that created me. Now, I do believe that we all come from energy, and obviously energy, it can't be, you know, created. It can't ever go away. So I always believe that in a form, I always existed, just like a thought form has always existed. And some of these thought forms I've created, eventually, this thought form can become so powerful that it's not just the program that I gave it, where it is thinking the same thought over and over. Like, if I'm constantly thinking, I want a sandwich, we need to be very, very aware with everything that we are thinking about, dwelling upon. It's not like a single thought, but if you're dwelling on something, if you get yourself into a habit, there's something that you always say or that you always do, or if you're around somebody with a certain habit, something they say or they always do, and you agree with their habit, you're going to end up with their thought form. Or you'll create your own thought form. As you dwell on something, you create a thought form. So if I'm saying I want a sandwich and I think that enough times, and it doesn't have to be even that amount of times, you end up with this little program. And so it is actually conscious. The thought form is conscious, but the thing is conscious of that one thing. If you made an I want a sandwich thought form, you have a program that's saying, I want a sandwich, I want a sandwich, I want a sandwich. It's conscious, but only of that one thing. All it knows is, I want a sandwich. But if you keep listening to it and giving into it, because yeah, of course we do this, because we think it's us. We don't understand we have these thought forms. We don't understand there's a difference between our reality and these thought forms. We think it's all us. And so we give into these things all the time. And it's not just about food. It's about all kinds of things. All kinds of things have changed with me. Like, I don't like the same clothes as my reality is coming up more. I don't say all the same things. So there have been so many changes in my mind as well. But yeah, if you are dwelling on that, then you create this small program that only says this one thing. So it did come out of the energy. So in that sense, it always existed because energy always existed. But now it's conscious. It's not just energy that you're directing it. You're directing it, and it's going where you want. It's doing what you want. It has consciousness of just itself, and it's going to think that one thing that it knows that it wants. So basically, what I realized, going back to my name, Isis Neith, I realized that I was created, so I became conscious because of Isis and Neith. They created me with their mind, and I believe that that's how everyone starts, really. You start as a thought. But what people don't understand is that we're creating all the time. We're creating constantly. And you can create a thought form that, as I said, it's conscious of this one thing, but as you're giving it all this energy, it grows and it grows. And it can then become strong enough to have a new thought, and it can think something that's outside of its little program that it had. And it could eventually transmute. It could become something positive, or it can continue thinking more and more negative things. You can begin to purposely create thought forms that actually help you. So you purposely create a program that says, my body only wants this kind of food. And as you keep giving into it, it's going to start combating these other ones, and they're going to lessen and lessen. And they can end up just going right back into the unconscious energy. So that's kind of a long explanation, but that's how I came to that name, because it was the realization that Isis and Neith together formed me.
Okay, lots more questions. Good. Very good. I mean, again, a very, very crystal clear explanation of what thought forms are. Now, like I said, I've been studying these old blue books, and they talk about thought forms, and it didn't really make sense. But now, well, I suppose, you know, all right, so the way I've got it, it's like what's nowadays called an app. You know, it's a little program, a little piece of software that does a particular thing. Now, you know, people now have these smartphones, and on these smartphones you have an app, and generally the app does one thing. And what you're talking about in a thought form is that if you liken our mind to a computer, and we're the programmer, our desire can say, okay, I need a program that will help me feed this craving that I have, which is I want a turkey sandwich. To carry on with this thought form, you know. So we create the I need a turkey sandwich thought form, and that's like it then becomes an independent being, from what I can understand you're saying, that has a life of its own. And so you allow the turkey thought form to play its way out. You know, it creates the sandwich for you. That reinforces the turkey thought form, and suddenly turkey sandwich becomes your favorite food, because you've got a very positive relationship with the thought form that is the turkey sandwich. Am I getting somewhere with this?
Yeah, that was a very good explanation.
Okay.
And again, as I said, it's not just food. I mean, if you're dwelling on fear, you'll create conscious fear, and all it knows is I'm afraid, or maybe it's a specific fear. So it can be anything.
Yes, and these are also called memes. We see them. All over the internet nowadays, these little, there's a picture with a little phrase on it, and sometimes the phrases, these things produce a feeling, they encapsulate a feeling, some of them even have, that awkward feeling, or something that we all share, and these are thought forms that are that now have a life of their own. Grumpy Cat. I don't know if you've seen Grumpy Cat, but Grumpy Cat is a thought form that is doing the rounds, and we all have a little grumpy cat inside us. Who really is? I'm not sure if you've have you seen? Do you know what I mean by Grumpy Cat?
I've never seen Grumpy Cat. No.
All right, it's what's called an internet meme, right? Which is a thought form that is traveling around the internet. It's a picture of a cat, and this cat has he looks grumpy. A lot of cats, they look like they're smiling. This one looks like he's got a very grumpy face, and a big old frown on him. He's just doesn't look happy at all, but at the same time, he's a cute, fluffy cat. So he's kind of grown to represent that little part of all of us that is like, oh, I don't like this, that is like a moaning little person, moaning little creature inside of us all, which what you're saying is in fact a thought form that lives with us and derives energy from us when we actually think of it, when we give energy to its thought, we pay attention to it.
Right.
So we have our we have these thought forms. Okay, so now we've established this is a thought form. These thought forms can they travel between us, they exist in our bodies, in the air, and a poison thought form is what we're talking before about the imperil. That's like a curse, and you can send blessings, and they're like emails, or things that are floating around the internet, robots and bots and things like that. So the internet is a very interesting analogy for the spiritual world, because we can now learn to picture things that you can't picture. You can't picture certain, higher dimensional beings, but you can now talk about them through the use of the net. So going back to your idea of what you would what the protocols are doing is they're kind of loosening up all the thought forms and memes that exist in that exist in our physical body because we've paid them attention. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. We are loosening them up. We feel these thought forms coming out of us. Gosh, every single day, and I'm totally, totally convinced that these are what are causing it. It's because, again, it's no longer a what from the council, it's a how, and the how is working. I mean, I was laying out here one night with Goddess Shiva Ray. This was a few weeks back. I was laying out here with her. We were meditating, and we do find that when we're meditating together, and now that Wolf is here, because he arrived very recently, about a week ago, but we find that when we are meditating as a group, the energy is even higher, because we come together with a certain intention. And so it's very easy to create a thought form or to decide on the thing that you want and cause that to shift and happen. And so we were out here, we were meditating together, and then I started feeling the council members around me very, very strongly. I felt their energy going into me, and I was feeling this energy leaving me, but it was very, very strong. It felt really old. It felt really deep. And the council, they even told me this might take an hour or so for us to remove this completely. And my first thought, and of course this was definitely a thought form talking, so my first thought form thought was, oh great, you know, I'm gonna sit here for at least an hour and have you take this thing out of me. But I'm laying there and I was feeling so much energy just pouring out of me, and you just, gosh, the more we call on the council, we feel these things just pulling out of our bodies. And it did take a while. I don't know if it actually took a whole hour. Sometimes it ends up taking less than they say. I think they give us you know, they give themselves a little bit of time leeway, you know, which helps us deal with some impatient thought forms. We go, okay, we know what we're in for. And then, but after this left, and actually, you know, it's odd to me, because while this thought form was leaving, I started feeling this feeling. I almost felt like crying, actually. I felt extremely alone. So obviously that had been developed when I was growing up, and I was very different from other people. And then my mom and I, when I was doing these channelings with her, and she was the only one I could be there with. So this formed when I was a child, or maybe even beyond that, because it felt very, very deep to me. So as this came up, I'm feeling so alone, and I even heard this thought very clearly in my head, but I heard it. I did not hear it as my own thought. It was very loud and clear in my head, almost like someone else talking, and it said, I feel so alone, and it said it like very, very emotionally. And so I knew that was the thought form that was coming out. But the thing is, it was very large, and so that was its root. Its root was, I feel so alone, but obviously it had developed where it was also doing other things, because the next day after it came out, I felt so clean. My skin, it was the weirdest thing. My skin looked different. Shiva Ray and I, we were both looking at my skin because of how different it looked. I could see all of the veins in my skin, because of how clear it was. My pores looked so clear. I could see, like, my flesh was more pink, because I could see, like, the blood more in my skin. And my skin was so soft. We were standing there just looking at my skin. We were standing there just touching my skin. She was like rubbing her hand back and forth on it, you know, because it was so soft. It felt like a baby's skin, and it still does. It's still extremely soft and clear that way. And I have so little oil on my skin now. Like, I didn't shower that day. Like, and now I find, like, it's like my skin feels so clean. I still shower sometimes, and sometimes I have to shower. I know out there they do not shower at all, because of how clean they are. It's thought forms causing all this oil and dirt and things, you know, to build up on skin like that. But I found now there's so little oil on my skin. It's like my skin has the perfect amount of oil where if I shower often, and especially if I'm like washing myself, I had to change the soap that I'm using, where the soap puts more moisture into my skin, because it's like my skin is so clean now that when I shower, it dries it out. And it's ever since that night when that thought form came out. So I've had to cut back, I've had to cut back showering as much as I used to. And that sounds gross. It sounds like dirty or something. But if I were dirty, certainly I would shower. I'm a clean person. So the reason that I'm doing it is because like I'm so clean that it is actually drying out my skin and taking like the little bit of oil in my skin that's there now. There are so many physical changes happening, things that I wouldn't even have thought of. And they come from thought forms that I wonder, how is that even associated with that? Because I know that my skin is this way because that thought form pulled out, because I could even feel it. I could feel it pulling out of all of my skin when they were taking it out. And I thought, you know, how is this even associated? How did this even come about, you know? And the council explained to me, they said, well, it's very old. You've had it since you were a little kid. And so it's had time to grow. This was one that I really believed. I used to feel alone a lot. And obviously I don't now, and it was able to come up and release. I lost my train of thought here for a second, but oh, right. But it's things that they don't even seem associated. And, it had a lot of time to grow. And so it, as I said, thought forms, as they grow, they're able to think new thoughts. And so this, like, branched out. It was able to start thinking other things beyond its programming and grow even in other areas. And so this thought of being alone and this feeling it had with it of being alone had changed my skin. And the texture of my skin and the physical appearance of it. And that's not the only thing that I've had happen to me as far as physical appearance. And again, we've only started in January, and I've had things with my body physically change where noticeably different, that my physical appearance is changing as the thought forms come out.
That is absolutely fascinating. And to those of you who have been doubting whether there was an ascension process going on, this is a description, some of the stages of it. Now, okay, let's go back. So this thought form, which is I feel so alone,
right,
which is it's a really deep human fear. All of us have this thought. And so it seems that thought is what makes us, well, you know, if we follow it through, it makes you, it has a physical effect. This thought form produces hormonal changes in our bodies that now now that it's away from you, those hormonal changes don't happen anymore. So, has your smell changed? I mean, everybody's got their own physical smell, you know. Has that changed, or is it refined? Is it like distilled?
Well, You know, that's the whole thing about smelling yourself.
That's true. That's true. That's not very objective, is it?
Like, I can smell somebody else and tell them, wow, you smell like this. But it's your own self. I mean, it's right with you all the time. You don't really smell it. So I haven't really thought about that.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. That's a difficult question to ask from the outside. We haven't got a nose that we can detach, and there's no camera. Last week I smelled like this. This week I smell like this. Yeah. All right. So crazy line of questioning. Let's reverse down back to the main trunk of the topic, which is the ascension process. And what's interesting? There's so many interesting things about what you're talking about. But essentially, this process of removing the thought forms. So is this something that we can do by ourselves? Or is it something... the last time you were talking to me on the radio, you were talking about... It's like a fusion bomb where... one atom splits, and then the energy that emits splits several other atoms. So as one person becomes ascended in some way, that then goes out to all the people that they know. Is this something that's happening in your life?
That what I'm doing is affecting others around me?
Yeah.
Well, I am in solitude almost completely right now, so I'm really not speaking to anyone. The only people that I speak to physically are Wolf and Goddess Shiva Ray. So that's more of a question that I would ask Goddess Shiva Ray. She's the one who is out more. She has very grounding energy, and her energy more pushes out. We have like the exact opposite abilities. Her energy, it pushes out, whereas mine more pulls in. It absorbs, and they're both abilities, and they can both be used in a very, very positive way. I just have to make sure that I am absorbing positive things. So she is in solitude much, much more than she was. But she is the one of the three of us that, goes out the most and speaks to people the most. And, I know, I'll let, her share about it, but I know, she spoke to me about a friend of hers that she meditated with who did actually have a physical change happen to her just from meditating with her over Skype.
That's brilliant. So we're going to take a break in about 5 minutes, perhaps we can speak to Wolf and to Shiva Ray, and this will, it's very, very interesting. What's fascinating, Isis Neith, is that you're expressing a lot of this, ancient wisdom. You've not been steeped in it. You're from a kind of spiritualist Christianity sort of background. And yet if something's a universal truth, then it's going to be expressed, and you express it very, very well. I remember we were talking that you're a crystal child. This is what crystal children do. You get things very, very, crystal clear. Massive books have been spent, have been, expressed before people had the ability to very clearly express it in the same way that you have. So I'd just like to thank you for that, and I hope that my audience really understands and appreciates that, because at the same time as you're speaking your words, the energy is coming across, and that is also very intense, full of very clear thought forms. So just to finish this this idea of the of what's going on in the process, is that you talk about this energy called your reality. And I think we can certainly liken that to the name, the soul, or the higher self, or whatever other being that we call, you know, the inner self, which, as we've all been learning, is an energetic being, and you're actually experiencing some of the energy. What I'd like to do in the next hour, if possible, is to talk about how we can start loosening and losing those thought forms, I presume that actually that's part of what your message is about. How am I doing on that?
Yes, that is definitely what the message is about. That's the whole process, is releasing the thought form so that your reality comes forward, and then you are you. And you're very accurate with the reality being the higher self. That is what people call it here. But the problem with that is that people believe, well, your higher self is in another location. It's not in another location. It's just covered up. It's covered up by thought forms. So it's not separate from you or in some other reality but connected to you in some way. It is in you, in a very deep place inside of you, and it wants to come out.
Brilliant. Again, crystal put, crystal clear. So,
thank you.
I'd like to play a little tune here while I make another cup of tea, because I'm still stuck in 3D. I have this thought form, which is I drink tea like an Irishman. So I'm going to indulge this little thought form just for a period long enough to go and make the tea and bring it back into the room. And during this time, I'll play a tune which is by a band called Gandalf Murphy and the Slambovian Circus of Dreams. And the song is called Tink, you know, like in Tinkerbell. They're what's called an unsigned band, but they make marvelous music. This is Gandalf Murphy and the Slambovian Circus of Dreams. Let's see.
I see you running in the night, your little spark of light. I know it's you. Oh yeah. Oh, I see you sneaking through the trees, you whisper on the breeze to steal my heart, and you do. Yeah, I know it's you. Disguise for what you do to me. Oh, I see you reaching through the lies. Oh, I am so surprised you've come this far for me. 'Cause hate, I was so unkind, grown up and so blind, tempted by a love that took me far from home, and hating, I just couldn't see you were meant for me. I left you in a garden full of broken dreams. Thank you. Neverland. It's me and you. Oh yeah. And I pray that this might be the day we can get away from grown-up dreams and blues. And hey, now that I can see you're still here with me, we can take the reins and beat this thing together. Hey, Tim, we can merge in time with the great divine, and we can build a world for all the lost and lonely.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
Oh yes, it is Ever Beyond with JP. This is 10th of March, 2013, and I'm speaking with the Ascension team, Isis Neith, and Shiva Ray, and Wolf, who will be joining with those in a wee while. I just want to thank you very much for the speaking in the last hour, Isis Neith, and so would you like to bring in your peeps, or do you want to give some messages first?
Why don't we go ahead and introduce Goddess Shiva Ray and Wolf. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm well. This is Goddess Shiva Ray.
Good to speak to you. So we've been chatting the last couple of days and talking about all the all your friends in the house, as it were, all your deities, and Do you want to give us an overview of you know, introduce yourself and where you're at, please?
That's a load. Okay.
Start simple, you know.
I'll start simple. I mean, I can start childhood, but I'll start now. Isis Neith and I came together. It was a prayer of mine. Not to reincarnate. And somehow I've known this since I was a child that I wouldn't have to reincarnate here, because I kept seeing this pattern with people
And I said, I don't want to do this. So it's been my prayer my whole life, as I have lots of prayers. And they always get answered. This one prayer, so then when I met with Isis Neith, I've known her for years. I'm very impressed with her reading abilities and so forth. And she's given me a lot of insight and confirmation. It's important when you're on this path that you receive your information, but for me also to receive confirmation that what I am receiving is actual truth. So when she and I connected months ago, we started talking. We found it quite interesting that we're together right before 2012. Because I also moved into my new home last year, knowing that I am a portal for higher energies and knowing that I was here to anchor in these higher energies for 2012, whatever was going to occur. I just knew we were in the process of shifting because I shift every day. So I thought, okay, here's a time period where the whole world believes that something's going to shift, so let's do something. So I thought, how can I help? What can I do? So I got my new place, and it was just me here, and so I built up the energy, and I said, okay, beings of light, beings, higher beings, here I am. Come into my home. Anchor yourself here, because I know that you need a place to come to, and I'm a portal. So when Isis Neith and I met again, reacquainted ourselves with one another, we're like, what shall we do now? We're together. It's about 2012. So then we said, let's get together. Let's do it. Let's do it big. Let's combine our energies together. You'll love my home. Come play with me for a while. So as we did that, our energies built and things got clearer and clearer. And then I had to make some decisions, things not to do in order for the Ascension protocols to come in. And I always knew that I would be part of the Ascension as well as part of teaching people how to create. I just didn't know how. I just knew I would. Okay, show me what I need to do and I'll do it. So Isis Neith and I were here and I made some very serious personal decisions that my reality was urging me to make a certain way and I obliged. And with that, I was blessed with the Ascension Protocols and being here with Isis Neith as well as with Wolf. I am one of the older ones, let me say it like that. We are very careful with our words that we use because words create, as we all know through the thought forms or as we have learned. So I'm very careful. So I have been here longer than the other two. And so with that, I carry different experiences and situations. However, it has been really fun. And I am the grounder, and I'm the one who goes out into the public. I'm more of the warrior of the group. I look out for the other two as they do me. And here I am.
Beautiful, thank you. So, we asked you at the beginning to bring in and encompass the conversation. Would you like to? I don't know if you actually remember what you do, because sometimes you know when I say things, I don't remember what I said earlier. But would you like to kind of explain what you did? You know, because it's like it's. You know, this stuff is, it's not mystical. It's like a recipe. You just need to get the right energies and you bring these energies in a certain order and everything like that. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I am a prayer warrior. I've prayed for years and years. I didn't know why. I just did it. And I knew I was being prepared for something. And so when I pray, I allow my reality and the beings to speak through me because prayer to me, it's really not prayer, really, it's creation. And then
it's really not creation for me. I'm manifesting because one of my abilities is a maximum manifester. And I've known that my whole life, but to really know that now and be able to apply it. So when we speak, we're manifesting. So it's imperative that each word be chosen for its energy and for that which you choose to manifest. So when I brought or spoke forth, I allow the beings to speak through me and create the energy that was needed here. And for me, for what I received was, what is the best thing you can manifest for yourself to be your reality? Because everything else falls into alignment once that is aligned within you. So for years, I have prayed for my soul, for the truth, and that's your reality. For years, people say, well, Louise, don't you want this? Shiva Ray, don't you want this? My earth name, my birth name is Louise. So they would call me Louise. They'd say, Louise, don't you want this? And I'd say, why? Why do I want that? What's that going to give me? What's the ultimate that we all can have? Freedom and truth. And how do we obtain that? Through the full manifestation of each one of our reality. And by being our reality, everything flows in your life. Every single thing.
And that's what manifestation's all about. And that's what The Secret is all about. And all these different films. So essentially what you're talking about is by allowing your soul to infuse into your body, by de-lousing yourself from all the thought forms that exist within it, we are actually giving life and mobility in this dimension to our true reality, our reality or our inner self or a higher self, which is not millions of miles away on another planet, but actually existing within us, dormant
for some. Yes, well said though. But yes, removing all the thought forms, following the protocol of the council very specifically, and clearing the thought forms. And as the thought forms are cleared, my reality is rising to the surface in excitement. It's so excited that before now, I may have enjoyed one thing. But as my reality is coming to the surface, I realize that that was just a thought form that made me think that I enjoyed that when I really didn't. It's not even who I am. And then as my reality comes forth that much more, everything falls into alignment. You have no fear. You have no worry. You have no doubt. You have no anger. You have everything, every single thing you have, because everything is within.
So, we have in the world lots of addictions, lots of sense of being trapped within these ideas, these thought forms. And so what you're talking about, the protocols, which presumably are, dietary or something like that, enable one to release permanently these thought forms, which can then release you to manifest your true reality, as another way of putting it is to truly, literally manifest your soul purpose, to be who you are, to be what you are, to do what you do, to do your thing, all these words, you know, manifesting your reality, the bringing it forth, making it real, realizing it, self-realization, all of these philosophies over the centuries have all spoken about the same thing. But the world has been clouded with, in the esoteric terms, glamour, and thought forms. And thought forms, glamour is like the collection of all the thought forms. And they stop us, A, from seeing reality, B, from feeling reality, and C, from our reality to express itself through. So... are you going to be talking about the protocols just yet, or would you like to bring Wolf in?
Well, I did want to say one thing about addiction, because I was addicted to food, like, my whole life. It was an issue. Even being in my mother's womb, she was, like, extra hungry with me, not as much as my brothers and sisters. So it always has been an issue with me. However, what I'm experiencing here is, since January, and it's March, I'm close to just consuming liquids, and I'm not hungry because the energy of my soul is feeding me. I'm being fed internally as opposed to externally from an external source. So I understand addictions, and I'm seeing it just go away. It's releasing from me, and I'm not fighting it. There's no fighting. I'm relaxing, trusting, and allowing it to be released.
This is such a fascinating idea, because a lot of people, particularly in what we know as the truth movement, are what's known as preppers, people who make preparations, they've taken survival courses, they've got all the survival books, and of course they've bought lots of dried food, to store, that, you know, that can last for a long, long time. But from what you're saying, it's going to be kind of irrelevant, because we may end up in a place where we're not actually needing to eat at all. From what you're saying.
Well, exactly. And this will also bring freedom, because I've always wanted freedom, not only for myself, but for my brothers and sisters. And my brothers and sisters are everywhere. And so I wanted people to have freedom. And that was one of my prayers as well. Freedom from everything, so that we can be exactly who we are in full expression, without dependent upon something externally to feed us. And if we have everything within us, we have everything that we need, and we are independent of the dependence of society, and we are free.
So, freedom is the ultimate, and it's the goal, and the means is release ourselves from those things that we don't even realize that we are subject to. Essentially, that's the message, isn't it? And probably from an extraterrestrial point of view, they look at us and we're like those big old sharks that are swimming the sea, and they've lived for a long, long time. They've got barnacles all over them. There's all sorts of ecosystems kind of sitting in them, funguses and all that stuff. Whereas they are very, you know, they're free of those sort of things. It's like seeing, you know, it's like seeing old guy, old geezer with loads of moles all over his face and stuff like that, eh?
Exactly, and those moles are actually thought forms. In fact, aging is a thought form. That's not even real. We're not. And in fact, people see me and they're shocked as to how long I've actually been here, because they go, no way. I go, way. Because I don't look like it.
Definitely underestimated your age, and I'm normally quite good at getting people's age, so definitely. So this sounds really good. Where do I sign?
Okay, let me summarize, please. Right now, we are in the process of building our website, and our website name is ascensionkeys.org. And please, if you wish to be informed as to our process and to how you can get involved, please go to ascensionkeys.org and sign up as a member, which will give us your email address. We also are on TypePad, which is our blog, ascensionkeys.typepad.com. We are also on Facebook as Ascension Keys. The main site we ask you to go to log your email address is ascensionkeys.org. Join as a member, put in your email address, and then we will keep you informed as to our progress as well as helping you. One of our responsibilities is taking ourselves through this process so that we then are able to help our brothers and sisters through the process as well. Because how better to help another than to be it ourselves?
That's right. And Isis Nefer was saying in the last thing, it's a process that spreads out. One person, you know, activates other people and so on. So talking of that, have you had any I imagine you have them all the time. Can you tell us about some of the experiences you've had where you see people transform in front of you? Or something like that?
Yes, my friend. I've known her for many years. And she just wanted to be in my energy. I said, okay, let's do a meditation together. So we got on Skype together, and I do what I do. And she told me after we did our meditation together, you know, I stated clear intention what I wanted to occur. I called my beings and my guides and so forth around her to help her. And we closed our eyes. We spent time in the energy together, which the energy just goes out the roof. And we stayed this maybe 45 minutes to an hour. And she recently told me that she had been on this medicine for years. And she was able to get off the medicine. I said, oh, what do you contribute that to? That's wonderful. She said, well, what do you think? I said, I don't know. She's like, well, what we did together. And I said, oh, wonderful. Do you have any more you need to get off? Well, let's do it again.
So, yeah, definitely.
What's nice is my energy gets clearer. My abilities are shooting through the roof. I am hearing clearer. I've heard since I was a child. And now I'm hearing clearly. I'm hearing multiple beings speak to me. I can hear the console. I hear, you know, my primary guide, who is Shiva. And then my creator is Ra. Egyptian sun god Ra, which he said, call me Ray. I said, okay, which makes sense because he is the sun. So I'm much clearer. So as I interface with people and I'm out there, I see them shifting. Now, for total transformation into ascension, that's why we're creating the websites ascensionkeys.org. We'll be putting the protocol out there. We're going to be setting it up so that people can be successful through this, because even though I'm out there and I can and I do positively affect people through conversation or through a personal exchange, they're still going to be limited unless they start shifting their diet, because it is the food that is keeping those thought forms stuck within them. That's why we started removing the food, removing the items and the things that are interfering in our reality. And one of the huge items is food. So you start out, which we'll guide them through it, again, through the website. We'll guide them through this process. And again, it's a gradual process, because these thought forms will kick and scream. And again, if you do it gradually and through the process, it will be permanent, and it will be easier, and it will be effective. But if people go off on their own and try to do this and that, we do not recommend that. We are not responsible for taking those actions. We are recommending, the council is completely guiding our every step of the way, because it is their goal. I mean, they're the council for the assistance to Earth. So this is what they do. This is who they are. Thank God, Isis Neith, thank God her reality, that she's able to receive this information in a clear way. She's in complete protection and isolation. So the information is clear, and so it is shared with the American public, with everyone everywhere, so that they too can be free. It's not just for us. We're doing it for everyone out there.
Well, and not a moment too soon. So this is a fascinating thing. You know, people have enough trouble, you know, getting off the wrong food. You know, like fast food, or food that's got too much sugar in it, or food that's got wheat in it, and all of these things. But what you're saying is, all right, forget food completely, because the whole thing is a distraction. And it holds our soul down. It holds our soul from manifesting. Which is an interesting thing, because, you know, mystics of ages have always done the fasting thing. But what you're talking about is actually choosing to receive energy from within yourself rather than from outside of yourself, which is a whole different idea than giving up food or starving yourself, as well it seems to be. You know, the idea of not eating is almost, you know, it seems to be, that's like a punishment. It's like you're doing something to kind of almost hurt yourself. But what you're saying here is that it's the food itself and the thought forms that are attached to that food that are the problem.
Correct.
Super. Can we talk to Wolf then?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that. Fascinating. Fascinating thoughts. Thank you very much, Shiva Ray. It was interesting in the pre-show calls we were talking, and when I moved into this house, there was a bunch of like old teapots and old knives and things like that. But sitting on top of this stack of things was a wooden carved, I think it's mahogany, it might even just be oak but stained, but a dark wood carved statue of Shiva, the Hindu god of, he's known as the god of destruction, but he's the first ray god in esoteric speakings. This is when we first started chatting, Shiva Ray and I, we were just, you know, there was the exchange. Look at this. Oh, look, yes, I've got one of those. Lovely. So, you have plenty of deities around. So, Wolf, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. So, have you known Isis Neith or have you known each other for a long time? Is this part and how did you get called for this thing?
I've known her for 3 years, because she had a website called crystalchildmessages.typepad.com, And at that time, I was going through some really deep stuff, trying to figure out what was going on with me, because I couldn't be around people. And there was only one person at that time in my life that I really would talk to, and she's like a spiritual healer. And she told my mom that I was a crystal child, and I didn't know what that was, so I spent a lot of time like researching and everything, and then I found her website, because it's called Crystal Child Messages. And just like the second I saw her picture and all the channelings and stuff, like I loved it. Like I was obsessed with it. I got a reading from her and we just became closer and closer. But mainly this year we got really close. And, but yeah, I found her. It was about like 3 years ago that we've known each other.
Oh, that's lovely. So obviously you bring a masculine energy to the blend here. How does that work out in reality? How does that express itself?
While it was hard for me to be around people, I was constantly with animals, constantly. Like that was the only thing I could be around. If I was around people, I went to like heart doctors. I went to many things because when I was around people, I used to have pains in my body just being around people, and I would feel their emotions so intensely and deeply. Especially when I was with animals, because what I used to do, I used to supervise like 25 dogs in a room by myself, and like every day. So it really tuned my energies, and it really got me in tune with feeling people's energies. And the more I did that, I really became it became very clear to me how what state people really are in, because I couldn't see them when my senses weren't that heightened. But when my senses started to become more heightened, I started to see more of what was really in them, and it kind of I was really confused about what to do and why everything was like this. And so animals really, really helped me to learn about my energy and how to balance it and how to ground myself and all that. If, I don't know if that's what you meant by answering that, about the male thing.
Oh no, that's good. Because there are energy flows between people, and when you have you're essentially a spiritual ashram there, and it's a spiral flow. It just keeps going up. Where do your skills lie, for instance?
What I mainly do is with animals is like I absorb energy very easily. So it's like that's why it was very hard for me to be around people, because of how easily I absorb their energy. Yes. It's almost like when you actually have like a clear crystal. And if you take like a red light and you shine it on it, it absorbs that red light, and you still see it's a crystal, but it's a red crystal now. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's like that. That's like an analogy of what it feels like for me. Whenever I'm around anything, I feel like it kind of shines through me, and I feel like I absorb it into me, but I'm still me. I just absorb it into me. And that's why it's very easy for me also to not eat and stuff like that, because I absorb it from other ways, because food is just, everything is energy, not just food, everything is. So you can, if you're really sensitive, you can absorb energy from anything. It doesn't have to be as intense of a source as food, because everything has energy. So for me, what was your question again?
Skills like.
What are my skills like? It's mainly being able to pick up on things, like absorb things and feel them as if they're my own, and also like absorb energy from plants, animals, and stuff like that. Like when I'm around animals, I feel, if I'm around a lion, I literally feel like a lion is in me. Like I feel the energy of the lion and I absorb it as like coming into me. So it feels as if I actually am a lion in some ways, but I know I'm not, obviously, but I'm absorbing its energy. So I kind of know what it feels like to feel its vibration, because I feel it to me.
Sorry about that. That's one what?
that's like one of the main things, like one of my abilities, because when I was working with dogs and also with aggressive dogs and stuff like that, it's very important to know where they're coming from. Otherwise, you can't help them. So when I absorb their energy, I had a sense of what they felt like, and I can help them from there. And so it was a very valuable, like a very valuable tool for me working with animals. And it also made my life difficult, obviously, in some areas, because not everywhere on Earth it's the easiest to absorb energy, because a lot of the energy is very negative, so it can kind of cloud you and it can hurt you. So I had to learn how to protect myself, ground myself, and make sure I'm only absorbing energy that I want.
Right, so that answers the question. We had a question from Shane in the chat room and asking, how is he not picking up others' energy now? And you just answered that. But I think, you know, the other thing that you guys are doing is that you're cloistering yourselves. You know, in the old days, people would go to a monastery so that they wouldn't be affected by the energy of the everyday world. But now these monasteries are steeped in their own thought forms, and so you don't really want to go to a monastery. So is that the idea of what your team is about creating a place that eventually people can come to?
Yeah, it's about, I don't know if this is what you mean by the question, but it's about like finding yourself, like becoming yourself. And like a lot of the things I learned from animals is not just who I am, but also who I'm not. And it's to me, it was more important first to know who I'm not. Is this relating to the question that you had?
That's one part of it. But I was kind of expanding it, and maybe I should discuss it with Steve Ray, because it's generally about like a kind of plan of how this energy of yours may manifest and in the future. Does anyone want to come in on that?
I'll come in on it.
Okay,
yes. The three of us are together to do the ascension successfully together, and we found it was necessary to bring us together because we're doing something on a daily basis, and the environment has to be such that it's set up for success per the council's protocols and direction. It is our goal to set forth in the future for places for people to go as well, that they too can be in communities to do the ascension together. Now, there will be different phases of the ascension whereby, say, somebody's a fruitarian, they haven't gotten to a liquidarian at the point. We will then segment those people in separate areas. And again, this is a work in progress, but yes, we want to set this up for other people as well, so that they too have the environment and the opportunity for full success of their ascension.
Isis?
Yes.
You were wanting to come in on that as well.
Yeah, you were speaking about how we were cloistering ourselves, and yeah, as I was saying, I'm in like total isolation right now, basically. I think, gosh, I have probably left the house maybe twice since January. Now I do, like I said, left the house. Okay. So not really the house, because there is like a nature walk out here. So I do go outside, and I am around nature and the trees and things. And the only places that I've gone, I went with Wolf to a natural setting, And we were there for a while. And the only other place that I've been to in that time has been when I had to pick out specific items that only I could pick out. Like, if you're picking out a crystal, for instance, that you need for the protocol, there were certain items that we had to have for the protocols. And some of them, picking out a certain crystal for a certain thing, no one else can pick it out for you. You have to see if it resonates with you. I mean, Shiva Ray and I, we were standing right next to each other. She felt one and I felt another one. She picked up mine and she got no energy from it at all. I picked up hers and it was like a repellent. It was like the crystal didn't, almost like it didn't like me or something. I'm sure it liked me. It was just, that's its way of letting me know, no, I don't want to be around you. But other than that, other than for specific items I've needed and to be in like a very natural setting, other than that, the council hasn't let me go anywhere. Wolf now, he has mostly been in the house as well, because of his abilities to absorb. And Shiva Ray has been that's been going out of the house the very most. So, but even as I said, even she is much more isolated. So yeah, part of the protocols is, as much as possible, I mean, some people would have a hard time with this. Maybe they're working a job or something like that. But as much as possible, to not be around people. That's one of the main things. And that's also why, like, Wolf, you know, his energies, they're so clear. He's someone who, he had to avoid people because of what he was going through. So he really hasn't been in the human world very much at all for years. He was with his dogs. He was with his pack of dogs and his dogs at the house, and he really pretty much stayed around them all the time. And so there are very few that we're able to bring into the house, because as our energies have increased so much, their energies are so low. There was one person I used to spend time with. His energy was very high to me. And recently he came into the house and he felt like he was 3 feet beneath me. And I love this person. He's a friend of mine, but I had an extremely difficult time being around him. But Wolf, he got here very recently. And I mean, he just blended right in. He's off all food and it's very natural to him. He goes with what he feels clear with. He feels clearer on liquids, so he does that. And just more and more, we can't eat the food. So because he hasn't been around people, his energies were extremely, extremely clear. And he was able to be here because a dog's energy, an animal's energy, it's so much more clear. You know, they express everything. Part of it is expressing your emotions. They express everything and nothing gets stuck. But human beings, they tend to repress, suppress. They tend to suppress their emotions rather than express them. And then thought forms get stuck, just like with food. You eat a heavy meal, your thought forms are going to get stuck. You have like something holding them down, and you're not able to let them out. And so it's so many people, they're just mired down in so many emotions. And it becomes more and more difficult to be around them. And this process, there's Gnostic literature that I would read a lot, a Gnostic book, the Gospel of Thomas. And even in that, Jesus says, you have to fast from the world. He said that in there, and that's very true. We have had to keep our communications with other people really to a minimal, more and more, as our vibrations rise.
So that's fascinating. The idea that, you know, it's a bit like taking yourself into a cocoon, because you know you're going to be very delicate and vulnerable for a period of time while this process happens. Presumably there comes a point when the radiation of the reality being takes over you'll be able to step outside once again.
Exactly, yes. Eventually, you know, we'll be able to be around people much more easily, and we'll feel them. We'll feel their thought forms. But they won't affect us anymore. But right now, exactly, as you're saying, it's like we're going through the process. We're first beginning it. And so right now, we haven't cleared out all of our own toxins, but we're in the process of clearing them and becoming more and more clear. And so we really can't be around the toxins of other people until all of that is shifted. It's like you help yourself first, you fill yourself first, and then you're able to help other people. It's that same concept.
That's right. You have to pull the oxygen mask down first before you can help anybody else, even your children. So
right. In
the last 15 minutes, or even last 10 minutes or so, would you like to speak about the protocols and kind of give an outline of the process end to end, rather than going into too much detail, which is obviously what you want to build on by gathering people.
Well, the protocols, the way the protocols start, because we've moved on now into other things, obviously, but the way this begins is really, again, clearing out your kitchen. And there are going to be items that you may be attached to. People have to understand that thought forms, they're not just in your body. They can house themselves in any physical item. And there are going to be items that you have cords to and that you may be very attached to, but they are housing thought forms. And you're going to have to go with your guidance and intuition as to what to move from the surroundings, especially the kitchen, what is in the kitchen. And the first thing that most people would want to cut out would be meat. After that, you continue. But meat is the big one. Meat holds the most amount of death energy. And you also, actually, you know, I'll add on to that for a minute, because it also contains all of the fear, all those emotions of the animal. Everything that the animal was feeling about its death, that's in the meat, okay? Now, also, the store. When you go to a store and you're picking out food, you know, how many people have gone through that store and they have picked up that same item? They're looking at it. Do they want to buy it? No, maybe they don't want to. The employees, they took it. They put it on the shelf. There's a lot of energy on it. So your kitchen has to be like a sanctuary. It has to be an extremely holy place that is going to not only remove all of those things that are on the food that were there, because of, as I said, the people there in the grocery store and the employees and just the energy in the building from all of these people that's left over, you have to make it a holy place that will remove all of that, so cleanse it, but then also charge it. So it's a two-step process. And so you can't eat your food right away. You have to be... you have to have food already prepared, and then the food has to be left to charge. And so you make food that you're going to eat later, and you eat food that you prepared earlier, because the food is going to have to chart, like, say, overnight. Now, the stronger the energy in the kitchen is, though, the more items that can charge the food and everything, the more quickly it's going to cleanse and then be charged. And then also finding the purest sources of food that you can will also minimize some of that. Again, like cutting out the meat. Also, cheese is another big one, but if you're in the process of cutting meat, that comes later. But also eating as much organic as you possibly can, because organic, that's going to be more pure than the non-organic food. So less toxins in the food, and then also the kitchen, making it the holiest place possible with holy items that are going to cleanse your food and they're going to charge. And then the other thing would be call on the council for the assistance to Earth, calling on them all the time, because they're the ones overseeing this process. They're the ones that are going to come in and they're going to help you to remove these thought forms out of you, and ask them. Ask them constantly to be clearing you. Ask your guides to clear you. Set up a time during the day when you call on your guides and call on the council to clear you, and ask them for specific thought forms that come to you intuitively that you want to be cleared of, and start working on those. So it's a process, but that is a large part of the beginning of the process.
Wow, that's brilliant. From Tri-Wolf in the chat room. So if you grow plants and love them while they grow, they would be charged by harvest, right?
There's still a lot of pollution, you know, on the earth and outside everywhere. You still really need to have a place that, you know, it can even be outside, wherever they're growing. You know, have items that are charging those plants and everything. But yes, that would definitely minimalize it. And but still, you're going to get to the point after a while. Obviously, not at first, but you're going to get to a point after a while where you're not eating the plants either, because everything that you kill. Obviously, there's a consequence for that. There's an energetic consequence for that. It's just karma. So we want to remove as much of that as possible. But yeah, you know, loving the plants and growing it yourselves most definitely would help to minimize that. And having it in a natural environment versus a store definitely would minimalize a lot of that.
So, this is the way that we begin to loosen the thought forms. Are there any other processes that you've been going through that have also helped to loosen those thought forms?
There are others, but I have to be very specific in the ones that I say right now, because I only have a little time and I have to be very, very specific in it. The council wouldn't want me to give them all here simply because of the amount of information. I would have to be able to expand on that and make it extremely specific. But I will say, though, that there are certain pantheons that are over this process that people can begin calling on. The Hindu pantheon is helping with the process, and I really believe though the Egyptian pantheon is helping even more so. They for some reason I honestly I'm not sure exactly why yet, because I am just increasing my connection with them. But the Egyptian pantheon is over the process. People need to begin connecting with them, or they can if they resonate with that. And there are other things. I'm not allowed to say certain things on here yet, because I want to again make sure that I'm able to expound fully, because this is a very delicate process, and it's not something that the council would want anybody to do incorrectly, and I need to make sure that I state everything very, very clearly, and that I have enough time to do that.
Yeah, so there's understanding behind it rather than just blind following, which could be dangerous.
Right. Yes.
So, we're coming to the end of this show, and it's been a real pleasure to speak with you all. It's been a great pleasure to speak with you again, Isis Neith.
Thank you.
And I hope that it's not going to be another 3 years.
Me too.
Because I was listening to the end of it, and I was saying, oh, it'd be really nice to have you back on, say, once a month.
Yeah, I remember you said that. Mm-hmm. And the council, when they started asking me to bring out the process and everything, they kept saying to me, JP. And so I got on and I contacted you. I was like, well, I haven't spoken to this guy in so long. I wonder if he's even going to remember me. But
oh, yes. I mean, yes. I mean, like I say, your energy was very crystal, very clear. And very sweet and really nice. So I welcome you back on.
Thank you, JP, and I love being on your show. And thank you for having me. Thank you for having all of us.
Oh. I will next time, before I make an announcement, fade up my microphone. it was so good as well. It was really well put together. Anyway, in the next 2 hours, we're going to have Frank Jordan and his Earthmind Think Tank group, which is a morphological field healing group. I could well imagine that some of the subjects that we've been discussing this evening will be brought in by Frank's higher self. We'll probably be talking about food, because in the last few weeks, whenever I've had a guest, Frank's higher self has always kind of brought that subject in to his conversation and then took it to another step higher. So it's a wonderful process that we have here on Wolf Spirit Radio. So it's been a pleasure to have you back, and I look forward to seeing you again. Our audience are very happy there. It's lovely. So thank you very much, and don't forget, you can have a private reading from myself on everbeyond.info, and if you want a private reading with Isis Neith, I imagine, do they go to your website?
They would go to my blog, ascensionkeys.typepad.com. And the website, ascensionkeys.org, that is still under construction. But they can go to that and give the email address, as Shiva was saying.
Okay, that's brilliant. So thank you very much. We are just about to finish the show and change over to the next lot. So I bid you all a farewell until Tuesday evening on Revolution Radio. Beyond.